John chapter 10. Read some verses here from the 10th chapter. I'm going to read verse 22, beginning in verse 22, and go down through verse 30. John 10, 22, down through 30. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not, because you are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. I'd like for us to bow our heads in prayer. Lord, I want to thank you for the great salvation that you've provided and applied to each of us that are saved. Thankful for the saving of our souls, and I'm thankful for the saving of our lives. I'm thankful that you have placed a desire in our hearts to be here tonight, not to be anyplace else, but to be right here. I'm thankful for that. That's God-given. Oh, Lord, help us in these last days that we not let things creep into our lives and cause us to half-heartedly serve you. I look around tonight and I see all these people that are not here, and it grieves me. And I know it has to grieve you. Lord, deal with them as only you know how. You know what to bring in their lives to bring them back into line and cause them, Lord, to serve you. Sometimes it takes things that we don't want to see or don't like to happen. But you're the one, Lord, that's in control. And you work all things according to your will and your purpose. We have people tonight that are other places, and they ought to be here in the house of the Lord. They're members of this body. We pray, Father, that you would bring your chastening hand upon them and cause them to recognize the privilege you give them. It's just a privilege to be saved, and to have good health, and to be able to come together here tonight with people of God and to sing and to pray and to thank you and praise you. So, Lord, I pray that you'd bless us that are here tonight, and that your word would be such a blessing to our hearts. And that we once again would be brought to our attention about being saved and the eternal life that you've given us, and what a wonderful blessing it is. And Lord, help us ever to keep you upon our hearts and minds, and that our paths and our ways may be that which would follow you and would be pleasing to you. Now, Father, I just pray that you would bless these that we requested prayer for. We have some that are sick, very sick, and we realize they're in your hands, and you're the great physician, and if there's healing, it'll come from you. We believe in divine healing, and we know that you're the one that does it. And so, Father, we pray that if you'd be pleased according to your will, that you'd work some marvelous, mighty miracles in the lives of these that have some things that are wrong with them that the people of this land, the men of this land, cannot cure. Only you can cure. Then we pray especially for those that are sin sick, that are without a Savior, that it may please you tonight, Lord, that you would open their heart and grant to them repentance and faith, and right here tonight they'd be saved. And we'd rejoice together with you, and there'd be great joy in heaven over the one sinner that repenteth. So now, Father, I pray that you would forgive me of my sin, In Jesus' name I ask it all. Amen. My wife and I tonight have been saved 40 years. We were saved 40 years ago on Sunday night at Newby Baptist Church over out of Richmond. That sort of brought to my mind, they sang that song when they baptized us, "Shall we gather at the river?" We was gathered at the creek. And there was about 20 of us was baptized, 18 or 20. When you had meetings in, you just, if they wasn't 15, 20 people saved, you just thought you were so backslidden and out of shape that things was terrible. And you'd have 18, 20 people saved at a time and line up on the creek bank and wait your turn and go down into that water and be baptized. And 40 years ago, the Lord saved my wife and I on Sunday night. Real blessing. I haven't been the same person since, and I haven't gotten over it. I never will, and I'm real thankful of it. And so, I just thought I'd share that with you. My wife called that to my attention. She's good at keeping up with times and dates and things, you know, like birthdays and anniversaries and all that thing, and when you're saved. And 1952 was when it was, 1952. We just kids. We was in high school, teenagers, but we just kids. Wet behind the ear and everywhere else. You know, we really was. I look back now and I really can think about that and really rejoice. Well, that's not what I'm going to talk about tonight. That is a wonderful thing. And, you know, it's a glorious thing to have a good testimony that the Lord saved you and been saved 40 years and kept you saved all that time. You know, 40 years. It's a marvelous thing. Well, that's sort of what I want to talk about here. In these verses of Scripture, there's a lot of wonderful verses of Scripture in the Word of God. I read one and I get to rejoicing. The Lord blesses it to my heart. And I think, my, this is the greatest scripture was ever written. And then I'll read another one, and it does me the same way. So you can't say, you know, that one verse of scripture is greater than another, but I believe that I can take this Bible of mine, and I can look at it, and I've not been using it too long. I think since 1975, I've not been using it long. And there's some of the places that are just about worn out, you know, and evidently I'm either reading there an awful lot or preaching from there an awful lot, and I am, because it's really seemingly threadbare. But one of the places, of course, here is in John chapter 10. Now, some people say, "I don't know what you Baptists would do if it wasn't for the book of John." I don't know what anybody would do if it wasn't for the book of John, because this is a wonderful book and has some great messages from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And this is one message that he had here. And he was talking about the wonderful security and the safety of those that are saved by the grace of God. Now, I don't know of anything that I'd rather to have the peace of mind and the peace of heart than knowing that I've been saved by the grace of God, and there's safety in that salvation, and there is security in that salvation. And the Word of God brings this out in so many places, but especially here in the 10th chapter of the book of John. Now, if you'll notice, they always had some questions for Jesus, and then Jesus would answer. They asked a question in verse 24. Now look at this. "Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt?" That's a question. That said, "If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." Well, Jesus answered them. And it was more than a mouthful that he said to them here. And he really went into detail. And I'm amazed when he gave this reply in verse 25. Jesus answered them. How many times did this happen? "I told you and you believe not. Doesn't do you any good if you don't believe. How many times you ask somebody something and they tell you and you don't believe them? And you ask them again and they tell you and you don't believe them. And they ask you again and they tell you and you don't believe them. Doesn't do you a bit of good. He said, I told you and ye believed not. And then he said, there is some evidences, or there's some manifestations that I am the Son of God. People say, and I've heard people say this, well, it would have been so wonderful if we could have walked with Jesus and seen Jesus and seen the miracles, they still wouldn't have believed. Because here's some people that didn't believe him, and they were with him, and they saw him, and they saw the things, and he said to them, he said, the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. And so we find that he goes on and says, even though you've been with me, even though that I've more or less been among you, even though you've seen the works, he goes on this verse and said, ye believe not. So it's more than just being able to touch Jesus in person. And it's more than just being able to see Jesus with your eye in person. It's more than just to have been there when he was crucified at Calvary. It's more than that. Because even these experienced all of these things, and yet even being there, and the very Son of God being crucified, seeing the works that he did in his Father's name, they still didn't believe him. And they asked the silly question, when are you going to tell us plainly? And if thou be, now notice, if thou be the Christ. If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. But it all goes back to this. Here's what it all goes to. You can do anything you want to, but unless God reveals his Son to you, you won't believe him. You can even be with him. You can even see him in person. You can see his hands that are pierced. And yet unless God does a God work of grace in you, you will not believe him and you'll still doubt. Oh, I believe it. He's a fake. And that's exactly what happened here. But he went on and he gave, and he told them why they did not believe. Now, I don't know this. When a person doesn't trust Jesus Christ and doesn't believe, I can't say what Jesus said. I can't say that. But Jesus said it. He could say it, and he did say it. Because he not only knew who they were, he knew their hearts, and he knew their thoughts. And he knew what their relationship was with the Father. He knew that. And I don't know that. And you don't know it. But here's what he said to them. They did not, he said, but you believe not. This is in verse 26. Why didn't they believe not? Why didn't they recognize him? Even though they was with him, even though they saw him, why did they not recognize him and believe upon him as the Son of God? Why didn't they? The same reason people don't today. And they don't know it, and I don't know it. But God knows it, and Jesus knew it. And here's what he said. It's real simple in verse 26. It's not easy for people to believe, because this also has to be given of God to believe this truth or to lay hold on this truth. And he said in verse 26, ye believe not. Now look how plain this is. Ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. So the reason for not believing, the reason they would not receive Jesus, the reason they would not believe on him, the reason they were always against him and always coming up with some foolish, silly question and always doubting, is because that they were not of his sheep. That's what he says. This is not, in just plain English, this is not hard to understand. But for the natural man, it's hard to receive. Because the natural man, or the man that is the worldling, does not like to even think that God has such a control over his creatures. But he does. I thought about, I didn't get through with what I started last Sunday night. And I thought about coming back with the rest of it, but then I got to thinking about this, and this is so good. You know, and there's not anything bad in the Word of God as far as preaching or teaching, and I was tossed between two, so I thought, well, that'll come later. But I'm going to get some things in here that would have been in that last Sunday night. If you'll go over to John chapter 6, now turn back just a few pages. Now, I told y'all, I don't know some things, and you don't know some things, but Jesus knew all things. Now, look in the 6th chapter of John, and I want to show you. Now, keep in mind what Jesus said there in verse 26, but you believe not because you're not of my sheep, as I said unto you. Now, in the 6th chapter of John, look at verse 64. And look what it said. John 6, 64. But there are some of you that believe not. Now, what's the rest of that verse say? For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. It's this simple. It don't have nothing to do with man. Amen. Jesus knew who was going to believe and who wouldn't believe. Jesus knows today who's going to believe and who won't believe. I don't know that, and you don't know that. That's the secret things of God that belong unto him, and it does not belong unto us. We preach the gospel to every creature, though everybody's going to be saved. That's what we're commissioned to do. And I'd be the first one to tell you, I don't know whether the Lord's going to save you or not, but I'm going to witness to you like he is. Whether he does or not. And I'm going to preach to you like he is. Whether he does or not. That's with him. It belongs to him. And it causes, it doesn't have any effect. It shouldn't have any effect on your witnessing. It shouldn't have any effect on your preaching. And it shouldn't have any effect on you as a child of God. And it shouldn't have any effect on anybody else. It's just the simple, plain Word of God. It's the plain teaching of the Word of God. So this sets the stage here in this passage of Scripture. This sets the stage for Jesus to tell about his sheep. I'm so wonderful. I'm so thankful that, and it's a wonderful thing that the Lord has his sheep. Now, I'm glad to be numbered among them. And I tell you, when I found that out, it was 40 years ago tonight. And it took me a little while, even after that, to really begin to grasp the full meaning of that I was one of his sheep. I tell you what I was a wandering sheep. And I didn't, and I remember well, I was a wandering sheep. And really, God in his providence brought it around to where that he worked it out to have me to be in a Baptist church. My people didn't go there. Nobody in my family went to church. I was the first one in my family that ever went to church. But God had it so designed to have me through the providence of things other than I did not understand or even begin to think about. I got involved to go to this Baptist church, and the Word of God was preached. And the Lord saved me by his marvelous grace. And my wife grew up in the Camelot. And that's where they went to the sort of like a holiness movement of the Camelot. But God, in his providence, had us together at one place 40 years ago for the purpose of saving our souls. By his marvelous grace. I'm beginning now to get a little glimpse of what he did. After 40 years. And I tell you, I'm getting closer to the full revelation of it, because I'm going to either die or the Lord's going to come. and that's then it'll be fully revealed. then we'll fully understand. And so now these are wonderful verses, and I wish and I pray tonight that if you're saved by the grace of God, you're thankful that you are one of the sheep, that God is saved by his marvelous grace. And if you're not saved, it just may be by the grace of God that he might save you tonight. We're so concerned. I really, seemingly in the last year and a half or so, the Lord has really seemingly worked in my life and brought about some things to make me to really appreciate what God has so gloriously done and brought about in my salvation. But now, we'll notice here, Jesus began then to teach about the sheep. And the first thing that I want us to see is their relationship. Now, the relationship of the sheep to the Father is they are his by grace. See, sheep, you know, it talks about them. They're talked about two ways in the Bible. They're lost sheep and they're saved sheep. And if you'll notice with me in Matthew chapter 10, and there in verse 6, Matthew chapter 10, and in verse 6, when Jesus told these disciples, these 12 apostles here, to go out and to evangelize, look what he said. And you know, some people would really take exception with this, but I won't take exception with this because this is what Jesus told them. And he said here in verse 5, and then in verse 6, he said, these 12 Jesus sent forth in Matthew 10:6 and commanded them, saying, go not in the way of the Gentiles. Now he said, now don't go there. Now what do you mean? He meant don't go there. See, he didn't have a right to do that. I reckon he did. He was the one sending them. Now then, and don't go into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In other words, who they were the first to go to was the Jews. Now, and among those Jews, there were going to be some lost sheep. And as they went, and as they preached to those Jews, there were Jews that were saved by the grace of God. But then, after that the purpose of God had been fulfilled in this, then here's what Jesus said to them at a later time. Now go back to John 10 and look and see what he said. You know, we can only take this by degrees, I believe. I mean that sincerely. I mean in a learning process for the grace of God, by the Holy Spirit, we can only take this truth in degrees and look in the 10th chapter, verse 15 and 16. And notice what he says now in this, and he's talking about there's a relationship. He said in John 10, 15 and 16, he said, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now look how he starts out, verse 16. Now the reason that I said that the Lord has really taught me some things along this line from the time I saved. I remember just as a young person, as a young preacher, being asked this, and I didn't know what it meant. I did not know what this verse meant. Because I'd never really been taught. My pastor hadn't taught this truth to me, and I'd never really learned the message of the sheep and the relation of the sheep to the Father. Never heard anything about that. Nothing whatsoever was ever preached about it. And then Jesus said to them, he said, and other sheep I have. Now we know there's some sheep he had, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But now he says, and other sheep I have. In other words, what he's saying, there's some other sheep I have other than the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In essence, that's what he's saying. Now, who are those other sheep? Where are they going to be found? the very places he told them not to go. See, don't go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But now he says to them, now, oh, by the way, other sheep I have. Well, I thought you told us not to go there. And they tried their dead level best not to. That's what it was all about at Jerusalem. And various things that happened to the church at Jerusalem. And how that. Then he said, other sheep I have. And look here in verse 16. Which are not of this fold. Now look. Them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. It ain't going to now be. It ain't going to be the lost sheep of the house of Israel and the lost sheep of the Gentiles. It's going to be the lost sheep. And that's exactly the way it is. Of the day, that's the way it is. Whether they're Jews or whether they're Gentiles, wherever they are in the world, that's what it is. Because he has so designed it to be. And then he goes on, and here's what he says about these sheep that are lost among the Jews and these sheep that are lost among the Gentiles. You know what's going to happen? I'll tell you what's going to happen. They're going to go everywhere preaching the gospel. That's why that he said, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world, the uttermost parts of the earth. You're going to go everywhere. You're going to preach the gospel to every creature. Don't matter whether they're red, yellow, black, white, orange, purple, whatever they are. You're going to go everywhere and preach to them, whether they're Jews or whether they're Gentiles. You're going to go everywhere and preach the gospel. Because what he's saying, other sheep I have which are not of this fold. And he said, in that verse of scripture there, he said, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And how are they going to hear his voice? They're going to hear his voice through the preaching of the gospel. Here's how God in his infinite, marvelous wisdom does it. He has people that he's going to save, and he, by the Holy Spirit, works through men that he has saved and called to preach, and other people that he saved and added to New Testament churches, and they are those that reach out with the gospel to those people under the direction and leadership of the Holy Spirit. It may be in America, it may be in Africa, it may be in Brazil, it may be in France, it may be in Japan, it may be in China. But God, in his infinite wisdom, is able to lay it upon the heart of one of his sheep that he saved with the grace of God to go out and to preach the gospel and others be saved. That's how that God's voice is heard. And so you'll see, and you go on up here. Now here's, you don't have to worry about any of them. Because God will get the message to them. He uses us. We're in that process right now. We're in that process tonight. There are sheep here tonight that have not been saved, that are here for the very purpose to hear the voice of God. And the voice of God is the preaching of the gospel. It is by the providence of God that God has brought you in. It ain't no accident that you're here. If it's one time or if it's many times, it is by the providence of God that God has brought you here to be under the sound of his voice, that the gospel may be preached to you. Why? That you might be saved. And look at these wonderful verses. In verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. Now what he said down here in verse 16, they shall hear my voice. And then he says up here, my sheep hear my voice. Now, I can't make the next statement he made. And the next statement he made is he said, I know them. Now the reason he made that statement was because of what we've already read in John 6. See, this is the infinite wisdom and knowledge of Almighty God. The reason he made this statement, I know them, is because for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not. If he knew who they were that believed not, he knew who they were that were going to believe. So you see this great truth here. And so this is why that he says here, my sheep hear my voice, and then I know them. Now, go back to the 5th chapter of the book of John and look at these words in this wonderful verse. I tell you, the Lord's blessed us with such wonderful verses of Scripture to bless our hearts. It ought to cause us to rejoice to where that our cup runs over. It'd be so good we couldn't hardly stand it. It's how it ought to be. It's beside me as to how people are so backslidden today and so cold and so different. I'm talking about people that have been taught the truth and truth preached to them. I'm beside myself about this. It seems like instead of us keep going forward, we're always neutral or we're in reverse. I don't understand that about our church. I don't understand why some people won't come to church. I don't understand that. Well, let's go on to this verse, 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word. Now, what's he talking about there? He's talking about, my sheep hear my voice. He says, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. What a wonderful thing to be able to hear and to live, to hear the word of God. I'll tell you what, it's more than just hearing with your ears. It's more than just hearing with the outer man. It's the Holy Spirit of God that enables you to hear the word of God to the saving of your soul. The word that you would repent of your sin and trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It is no small matter to be saved by the grace of God. It is a glorious thing to be saved by the grace of God. And so they hear. But how this all comes about is there's a drawing on these sheep. In the 6th chapter of the book of John again, and look with me in verse 44. Now, the Lord knew who it was that would not believe, and he knows who it is will believe. He takes the gospel to them, and then he works upon them. There's a drawing. There's the work of the Holy Spirit. Look at John 6:44. In the 44th verse it says, no man can come to me. And there's a comma there. And then he explains that. Except the Father which has sent me draw him. Now what that is, of course, is the drawing of the Holy Spirit. I remember well. If you're saved, you do too. Now, to me, it's been 40 years. It may not have been 10 years for you, or maybe two, or it may only have been one. I remember well when God began to work on me through the preaching of the gospel and the working of the Holy Spirit. Don't you? I remember it. And I think back and what a marvelous work that God did. He made me so miserable. I became so miserable. I was brought to the place of feeling the weight and the guilt of my sin and feeling even as though that I was damned and doomed to a devil's hell. And all of it was the drawing of the Holy Spirit and bringing me to the place of where that I would, by the grace of God and by the power of God, would repent of my sins and trust Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Had God the Holy Spirit not drawn me, I could not say that I've been saved 40 years. And it was the work of the Holy Spirit. It was the drawing of the Holy Spirit. There's nobody can be saved apart from the drawing of the Holy Spirit, the work of God. Nobody can. Nobody ever has, nobody ever shall be saved apart from the work, the drawing power of the Holy Spirit. And that work is given. It's a work that God does. It's a work that's given. It's a work you don't have in you, see. Because you can't. It says very plainly. That's plain. No man can come except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. A wonderful relationship. Now he could have, if he had so determined, he could have passed us by. But I tell you what, the reason he didn't was because of his love. His love and his mercy. If the Lord doesn't deal with you tonight, if the Holy Spirit doesn't deal with you and you never hear his voice, you'll die to see your sins. If he did not speak, the sheep would never heal. But I'm thankful that he says here, my sheep hear my voice. That means he speaks to them. That means that he calls them, and we hear his voice, and not only to the saving of our soul, but we keep on hearing his voice. I'm not trying to get away from it. You know, most people today are trying to see just how little they can do and what they can get by with. I get so aggravated. I go into the grocery store, and they're sacking the groceries. Kid. You know, I think, ain't that terrible? It's terrible. That's our generation. It aggravates the tar out of me. I dare say, would you like me to pack these groceries out for you? What I mean, you know, ought to rebuke them. Lazy bums. That's what they are. That perked everybody up. What kind of a generation have we raised? What's wrong with it? I don't go to church. People are there having problems getting their kids in church. What's wrong? Y'all tell me. What's wrong? And then, because I believe, and I believe the Word teaches this, we hear his voice savingly, and then we don't quit hearing it.
Amen.
The Lord speaks just as much to you, or more after you are saved, than when he saves you. And he'll say, son, give me your heart. Give me your... And what I mean by that is your devotion of your heart. I'm not talking about opening your heart and anything like that. He'll say, son, give me your time. Son, give me your tithe. Son, give me your talent. Son, give me your best. The Word of God, he keeps speaking to us. And that's evidence that we are sheep. That's evidence that we are saved. That's evidence that there is a relationship. We have a relationship with the Father. There is no voice like his voice. And I hear it every day. And I hear it every night. I hear it all the time. And he continually speaks to me. And seems like he speaks to me more now than he ever did. Amen. To hear is to turn and live. Not to hear is to die in sin. And that's totally what I preached on last Sunday night. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. I tell you, sometimes he must get our attention, and he does. He always gets mine. Now, then you find, now look here. Here's the order of this. Look at this. Look at this, 27. Verse 27, John 10, 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And then they make a deliberate choice. Then they make a deliberate choice.
Then they choose to do something.
Then.
And only then, and not till then.
They make a deliberate choice, and you know what their deliberate choice is? They follow me. Somebody said, you mean I don't choose? Yeah, I had a choice. But what happened first was, I heard his voice. What happened first?
He spoke to me very vividly and very clearly through the preaching of the word, and I knew it was me.
I knew it wasn't somebody else. It was
me.
And it was more or less like it ought to be today. Yes, sir. I wish I could remember everything happens to me in a week. I just recently met some of the most courteous people. I was astonished. And their children said to me, yes, sir. What kind of weirdo are you? You know, yes, sir. No, ma'am. I just sort of made my heart jealous. And I tell you what happened here. There was a deliberate choice, and the deliberate choice that the sheep make when they hear the voice is they follow me. They hear. Look at verse 7 and verse 8 of John 10. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. They didn't hear them, but they heard him. Isn't that a wonderful truth? They believe and they follow. They choose to obey his voice because they hear it. Now, how does he speak? He speaks through his word. I said, well, I wished I could hear from the Lord. Here's how you hear from him. He speaks through the word. And scripture of that is 10:17 of Romans, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Somebody said, well, I wished I had a sign. You ain't gonna get no sign. That's superstition, is all that is.
That's old wives' tale. God don't speak through signs today. He speaks through the word.
Somebody said, well, I saw a sign. Oh, don't kid yourself. You're fooled.
Devil's deceiving you. You didn't see no sign. The word of God. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2.
Is the scriptures for that. There is no longer visions and revelations and signs.
It is now we have the completion of the canon of the scriptures, the word of God.
God speaks to his people through the word. All that other is just to get you sidetracked and lead you astray. I'm amazed today at how some people have been deceived from the simple, unadulterated word of God. And so then as we hear the word of God, what we do, we renounce self and we obey his word. And I'm so thankful that God has a way that he deals with us and works in our hearts and life. And so we see, first of all, the relationship of the sheep, but then we see the security that we have. I sometimes, you know, you think, well, I'm really saved. How Bible would travel. I'm really saved. I have this life insurance policy. Baloney. Ain't no security in that. If I say, well, I have all this saved up. There ain't no security in that. Say, well, I got all this retirement coming. Ain't no security in that. They'll jerk it out from under you, probably. There ain't no security in this world, but there is security in Jesus Christ. And in being saved by the grace of God, there is security. We are perfectly saved. And you know why we are? Because we have something that insurance people can't sell you. You know what we have? It's right here in that passage of Scripture, chapter 10. It's right here in verse 28. You know why we're secure? You know why we're safe? It's because he said, and I give, now notice who he gives it to, unto them. He don't give it to everybody, but he gives it unto them. I give unto them eternal life. Now you know as far as you're concerned, when eternal life begins, it's when he gives it to you. Isn't that right? When he gives it to you, when he says, and you know how long eternal life's going to last? Look up the word eternal. Now would you say that a person that has been given eternal life by the Son of God is safe and secure? Certainly. They certainly are. Because he goes on and he explains that a little bit. And here's what he says. Now some don't know what eternal life means. They think eternal life, that God gives it to you and then he stops it over here somewhere. That's not eternal life. Or that he gives it to you and he takes it away over here somewhere. That's not eternal life. And he goes on and explains it. In verse 28. And I tell you, I meet people that can explain this away. Or try to explain. They can't explain it away, but they try to. And look what he says in verse 28. And they, who is that they? That's unto them. It's not everybody, but it's them and they. And they shall never perish.